In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us quieten this morning our hearts and minds in thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have come here this morning to gather around your holy and precious word and be partakers of your precious kingdom, we wish to thank you, dear Father, for all the blessings that you have given unto us in this life wherein we dwell. We thank you for our homes and our families. We thank you for that daily bread, our work and clothing and everything that is included in this daily bread, dear Father. We thank you, dear Father, for those precious escorts that you have gifted unto each one of us. But above all these things, dear Father, we desire to lift our humble thanks unto you for this greatest gift, this gift of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you saw it good, dear Father, to send down to this earth to save sin-fallen mankind. Dear Father, we ask for continued strength and guidance, continued forgiveness, so that we could remain as little children, endeavoring on this road which leads us one day to heaven. Dear Father, remember those who are struggling with trials and difficulties of this life. Remember those who are struggling with and burdened by sin on their conscience. Continue to lead and guide to the grace altar. Dear Father, this morning we ask simply for a service blessing. Give words of utterance. Give words that we need this day. And give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. Then we enclose all our thoughts and unsaid prayers in that perfect prayer your dear Son taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the beginning, dear brother and sister, I ask if I can have all my doubts and sins forgiven. I would also like to bring you greetings of love and God's peace from all those that were gathered for that confirmation camp exercise last weekend. It was nice to be there with them, those newly confirmants and all that attended there. The theme for this Sunday is truth and falsehood. And I thought I would read the gospel text that is set aside for this Sunday. And it is found in the gospel according to St. Matthew, 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. These words that we have before us are words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus kept there. Jesus touched on many things on that, I suppose we could say, all aspects of our life in that sermon there. He touched on murder and adultery and divorce and oaths and retaliation and love and almsgiving and prayer. We could say fasting, wealth, judging. And towards the end of this sermon then, he spoke about the two ways of life. Just as this theme that we have before us, truth and falsehood. God's kingdom is a precious kingdom. And in God's kingdom, we live in the truth of God's Word and also with the grace that comes with it. Grace and truth, they go hand in hand, don't they? Jesus, in this sermon, He spoke about two gates. The one gate being straight, or we could say narrow, and the other gate being wide. One gate leadeth us to the shores of heaven, and the other gate leadeth us to the shores of eternal condemnation. I shouldn't say shores. We know that the enemy of souls is this kind of an enemy, that he makes that world that we live in to our flesh so appealing. And he sets before us many, many snares that he is endeavoring to try to trip us up, and so we would follow in that and fall into that wide way that the flesh lusts after. There are many portions of Scripture that speak to us about this way to heaven's shore. I ask you, dear brother and sister, is it an easy way? For the flesh, it's not an easy way, is it? It's a continual battle. We battle against the threefold enemy. In this portion, in the 14th verse, it says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way." If we were to look up the definition of straight, well, one of the definitions of straight is narrow, of course. And then also it refers to a time of difficulty, or a time of where it's not so easy. And this is what Jesus portrays this traveling in this kingdom of God is. It's not so easy, is it, for our flesh to travel in this kingdom? We think about the beginning of time, where Adam and Eve there were in the garden. The enemy was there, taunting and tempting them. I ask you, has anything changed from since then to now? There's a lot of things that have changed around us, haven't there? There are many more, I suppose you could say, temptations that weren't there at that time in some ways. But yet the flesh was still the same. And the enemy of souls was still the same. And this is our battle. But we can thank God this morning that He seen and He knew that this battle could not be waged on our own power and strength. So He promised there, right in the beginning, that He would send a Savior. This Savior that He sent was His only begotten Son.
who fulfilled that condemning law? Who lived a perfect life? Who suffered that awful death? Because He loved you and I so much. It's a simple way to heaven's shore. It was prepared so simply for us. All we need to do is believe. Believe that Jesus was sent into this world. Believe that He died upon the cross, that blood that He shed was for us. And believe that He was victorious over hell. And He rose again on that third day. This battle that we face is a battle against sin. This first verse says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And then it continues, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." If we were to continue reading this seventh chapter towards the latter part, it's actually a gospel text that is also set aside for not this Sunday, but another Sunday. And it speaks to, it reminds us about false prophets. And it also reminds us of the true way into the kingdom. We know, as believers, when we are endeavoring to put sin away as it besets, we know this is the only way that will get us to heaven's shore, isn't it? Faith upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this faith that we own is strengthened by and through that precious gospel message. This is what the world stumbles upon. Well, what did Jesus say that He has hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes? There are many in this world that believe that they must do something to inherit eternal life in heaven. Or give something . This isn't the way God's Word in the Holy Scriptures teaches us. It's simply believing the gospel. Then this Spirit of God teaches us and leads us and guides us, rebukes us. The flesh is such that it desires. It would desire a simpler or an easier way, we could say. It's hard to crucify the flesh. It isn't easy to put sin away, at least for me. But doesn't the Bible instruct us in this way that we must crucify the flesh? I have spoken to many. On the outside of God's kingdom, that feel that they can take their matters directly to the Heavenly Father and have their sins forgiven. This is not according to Scripture. Why was Jesus sent down from above? Why was that Holy Spirit then left here among Jesus' own? If we could take our matters directly to the Heavenly Father, then He would forgive us. This understanding has even been confused with those traveling in God's kingdom. This is not according to Scripture. This is that purpose of the Spirit of God. When we go through the Scriptures, we can see that whenever the forgiveness of sins was preached, there was always at least two there. One that owned the Spirit of God in their heart. I ask you, dear brother and sister, is it us that forgives? No, it's God that forgives through that third person in the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit. It's not our spirit. It is God's Spirit that we carry when we are believing our sins forgiven. It's there. It enters as a gift. And that Spirit also that we carry, we have a duty then to preach that gospel. That was the command of Jesus. This is what the flesh would desire, that we could lay in our beds at night and pray to God that He would forgive us our sins, and that forgiveness would happen then. That's what our flesh would desire, wouldn't it? I've even heard this, that we can have our sins forgiven through singing a song. Dear brother and sister, sins can only be preached forgiven through of one believer to another believer, or one believer to one in unbelief. This is that what God's Word speaks of here this morning, that truth and falsehood. This is that straight gate through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the only way we can get to heaven. In another portion of God's Word, it speaks to us about many are called, but few chosen. Dear brother and sister, we can be thanking God this morning that we have been called. That we are partakers of His grace kingdom. It's such a precious gift. This gift of living faith. In this, I'm going to read this 15th verse. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Then it says here that not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what is the will of our Heavenly Father? It is simply this, that we believe upon His Son. We believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Then that Spirit of God teaches us continually. That's why it's so important, dear brother and sister, that this battle that we face, that we do battle. We put sins away. We don't have the freedom to sin, but we have the freedom from sin. And when we're believing in the correct way, there's that inward desire in us that we don't want to fall into sin. But there's also that inward voice that when we fall into sin, we want to put it away. We want to hasten to the grace altar. Because we know what will happen if we don't do this. That tender conscience that we have, slowly but surely, becomes hardened if we don't do this, if we don't put our sins away. This is what we war against. I'm trying to find that portion of Scripture that speaks to us of this in Revelation. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's in the second chapter. It's the message to Ephesus. And it says here, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And then it continues here and says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." This is what would take place if we don't put sin away. Then that candlestick of faith will be removed. We want to continually battle that good fight of faith. And when our endeavor is such, God gives strength and God gives power and God gives understanding. We know that battle that we wage is a worthwhile battle. It leads us to heaven's shore. And this theme, truth and falsehood, when we read this portion of Scripture, it speaks of that way that leads us to destruction. I will read those two verses again. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." Dear brother and sister, you are one of those that have found this way. God has led you here. To those who are on the outside of God's kingdom, maybe you are listening. God is calling you this day to enter into that narrow gate, that straight gate. You may wonder, how can I enter in? It's simply this, by humbling yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Putting your sins away in the name and blood of Jesus. You, dear unbelieving one, can uplift your heart and believe your sins forgiven. That greatest sin of unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You, dear brothers and sisters, you too can uplift your hearts and believe this precious gospel message. Believe all of your sins and your latest doubts and fears forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. We have a gracious God, a God that will lead us and guide us to the shores of heaven. All we need to do is believe this precious message. It's a worthwhile battle. You dear youth, battle against the threefold enemy. the enemy of souls would love to snare you. Whisper those lies to you that you can just travel in the world for a short time. Go and enjoy the so-called pleasures of sin. There's no pleasure there. There's nothing but torment. Continue on this way of faith. How do you continue this way? By going to the grace altar in time of need. You are escorts for one another. Be your brother's keeper. Remind each other. Of the precious goal that awaits us. You dear youth, it's a worthwhile battle. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Maybe you have come here beset by sin. You can uplift your heart. Believe all of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious blood. Our Heavenly Father loves you. I know it's a difficult road. But with the power and strength of the gospel, we will all one day make it to heaven's glory. So again, dear brother and sister, uplift your heart and believe. All sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And as we come this morning to the Lord's Holy Supper, we can come believing and come remembering that suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name and always blessed name, amen. Let us quieten this morning our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.